in deep consciousness, and through the mantra meditation and using it regularly, you arrive at this ability to go into deep, deep consciousness very easily. Over time, over a number of years, it becomes automatic. So whenever you need to call on that great being, it's there. Because it's not just there intellectually, it's there living. It's an experiential. It's actualized. It's realized. And that's a wonderful state to be in. Because then you're never alone. And you realize that you can call on this amazing nexus, the ultimate communication system of the cosmos, is awareness itself in its subtle, pure, unbounded component. And it isn't difficult to attain it. To reach it is no more difficult than sitting quietly and allowing the mind to perceive itself. Now, there are breathing techniques for that. Some of the Zen techniques, there are breathing techniques where you watch the breath and then you become aware of who's watching the breath. And, you know, I've shared these techniques as well. The mantra technique is one that enables, because of the unique nature of the resonant tonality of the mantra, to harmonize the mind and very pleasantly keep the mind gently centered on it as it becomes more centered, more quiet, more calm, and it goes deeper and deeper into this ocean of unbounded mind until such time as you find yourself that absolute mind itself. That's all that is there. And in that state of samadhi, you find, of course, you're at your ultimate home. This is the home that we all yearn for. And it's that state of ineffable oneness that can never be taken from you, because once you experience it, you know that's who you really are and that's who we all are. And then you realize, of course, that there's only one being manifesting, phasing, resonating as that person or that person or that being or that tree or that plant or that planet or that star or that galaxy, or that universe. Wonderful. Nothing can be more blissful and liberating than this experience. But it has enormously practical applications for those of us, of course, still living in the body and living in space-time and have work to do. And it can be used in many, many ways. And one of them, of course, is to be able to see a distant place in real time, right now, connect to those beings and invite them to work with us in the establishment of universal peace on Earth and throughout the cosmos. And the state of being an ambassador to the universe is really the state of being in this pure consciousness. Because there, as Krishna said to Arjuna on the battlefield, this, a little of this, capital T, is beyond all fear and eliminates all fear. Because there can be no fear when you realize that the oneness that you are is immortal, eternal, unbounded, pre-existing, forever. And that is the conscious mind whereby you're awake right now. You don't have to become that. You are that. You always have been that. And so realizing that, then you begin to understand, as some people who've had near-death experiences, what is there to be afraid of? Nothing. What is there to dread? Nothing. What are the limits in what you can achieve? Whatever it is your imagination limits you to. And there's a saying, as ye have faith, so shall your powers and blessings be. This is the balance. That to the extent that you affirm that this is possible, it is possible. If you affirm to yourself it isn't, it isn't. And if you enjoy keeping yourself limited to your own individuality and consciousness and the suffering of separation, then you can embrace that and enjoy the suffering. However, you can choose, because you alone have the key, to unlock the cage and let the bird fly free. And any meditation and any teacher, that's the intention of what we're sharing, is the ability to say, each of us has the key, and here's a tool that helps you learn how to unlock it so that the soul, the bird of your own soul, can soar freely through the vastness of the unbounded cosmic being. And that's really all I wish to share with this meditation and cosmology as I understand it. And of course, this began to first become really clear to me when I was 17 and I was very sick and died and had a near-death experience, because this was very foreign, all these ideas, to me, because I was raised a very devout atheist, and my parents did not believe there was anything beyond what you could put in a test tube and measure. But what I found was that in reality there is this perfect state of awareness that we always are that being. And you find yourself in this meditation at some point experiencing the completeness and fullness of this transcendent self. And in fact, the entire cosmos is awake, and you are that awake cosmos. And even at the same moment, you are your individuality. And there's nothing wrong with being the individuality, because this, in my understanding, exists because the great being enjoys the realization of its own self through the uniqueness of every individual creature in existence. And it is an unfolding and a returning and a constant unfolding. And so we give the universe great bliss and fulfillment as each of us, by the use of our own intent, allow ourselves as drops to return to that ocean, to recognize that each of us is a wave on this vast ocean, in reality the ocean itself. And at the same time can be a wave operating in this world, making change occur, being kind to people, trying to create a better universe and a better planet. All of that is part of the process. But it's empowered greatly by being able to sit quietly and go into this unbounded state and then work in the world from there. And that becomes your talisman. That becomes the magic source of your energy and power to make things happen, because you're not really relying then just on your intellect and just on your own faculties and just on your own individuality and will. But you're also bringing in to that this unbounded self and the intent of the great being. Ultimately, the great joy of having free will is to realize that free will can be used to give oneself to the unbounded being and to do the will of that unbounded, pure, conscious being. And that's the great bliss. But it can't be forced. It's only something we have to say, we're going to give ourselves to that. And with all of us, each of us have our own unique personalities and our own weaknesses and strengths and individualities. It doesn't matter. One of the big mistakes that everyone makes is they think they have to be perfect to experience perfections. No, this isn't true. If this were true, there would be no possibility of enlightenment. You see, it's a bit of an oxymoron. It's a tremendous paradox that as individuals, we have this ability to experience the unbounded. And at the same time, we have our individualities with its strengths and its weaknesses and its flaws and its, quote, imperfections, and yet it's perfectly imperfect. See? Perfect. It's all perfect just as it is. Because shining through each of us is this pure awake mind, which then can realize itself through us. And we realize the great being and the oneness we all share. And as you look at others and you look into their eyes, you know, each person is unique like a snowflake. And as I have said before, it's as if each person is this window that is unique. No two are alike. And everyone gets tied up on the window. But how are you perceiving the window except the light through it? If there was just darkness, there'd be no form, there'd be no shape, there'd be no distinction. What is the light that is shining through every window whereby the window can be discerned? That's what I'm talking about. Of course, in modern times, we see all the religions fighting because everyone's fighting over the lantern that the light appeared in rather than the light itself. So let us look to the light and not be overly consumed with the window, even though the window is important because it is through our individuality that the light is streaming into this world and into this dimension, and can then cause the evolution of worlds and of Earth and of humanity. Until such time as all of life on Earth attains enlightenment and God consciousness, and we will be in God consciousness ships going to other planets, just as there are civilizations here at that level of celestial enlightenment and have been here for millions of years. This is a cycle without end, and it has been happening for eternity. And it will happen for eternity, because it is in this great circle that the evolution of the great being keeps expanding infinitely forever with an unlimited number of individual souls coming into the realization of the pure being, and then attaining that state of enlightenment and achieving this pure bliss and joy that that experience engenders. And this is the way it has always been. So that's really why we're here. And that's why this mantra meditation, when it was first understood by me years ago, it was very flat. Dun, 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 dun. Then when it became dun, 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 da, 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 and tonal, it became multidimensional and became so much more powerful and also ran spontaneously. This is only in the last few months of my life that I have seen this direct perception. It's a direct perception of the nature of these tones, of the thought of the mantras. And that's what we're sharing, and that's what we're going to share in the mantra and in the meditation. It's very important that when we sit to meditate, that even if you don't have time to do some of the stretching and asanas beforehand, to sit and do the breathing pranayama. And I want to review what that is again, so just for clarity. And this is a breathing technique, very simple, and the intent of it is to allow the mind to become settled and